Oof, 2024 has been a rough year for movies so far. Godzilla, X-Kong, The New Empire, whatever it's called, and some people have said you don't pronounce the X. Well, in that case, they shouldn't have put the X there, and I'm gonna say it. Was directed by Adam Wingard and stars Rebecca Hall, Kaylee Hoddle, Brian Tyree Henry, and Dan Stevens. And Godzilla and King Kong, obviously. Following their explosive showdown, Godzilla and Kong must reunite against a colossal, undiscovered threat hidden within our world, challenging their very existence and our own. Hey everyone, welcome back to Movie Morning. Today I'm going to be reviewing Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire. Now, for those of you who are new to the show, I reviewed Godzilla versus Kong back in 2021, and I was one of the people who actually really enjoyed that movie. But I remember when the movie came out, there was quite a bit of divide between people who thought it was super fun, people who just couldn't get past the stupid human stuff, which there was a lot of in that movie. I would argue rewatching it, like 70% of it is stupid human stuff. But the stuff that was good was so good that it made up for it, if you ask me. Even watching it again, the third act is so utterly glorious, just like I put in my letterbox, that I think it makes up for like 80% of the movie before that being stupid. And when it comes to this film, I was kind of expecting the same thing. Now, I was surprised to see going back that the Rotten Tomatoes rating for Godzilla vs. Kong, I believe, was like 70%. And that's not the vibe I was getting for that movie when it came out. But because of that, I was even more surprised to see the drop in the ratings for this film and the Rotten Tomatoes score in particular. Although, again, Rotten Tomatoes isn't a measure of how much people like a movie, but how many people liked a movie, how many people would recommend it. I believe the movie's hovering at the 50s range now. Having seen it, I'm not surprised by this drop, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But going into it, I was honestly expecting to be one of the people who walked away enjoying it, because I thought that Adam Wingard did a great job with the first one, even though it's a really stupid movie. And I thought this movie was going to be at least just as entertaining, because it looked like it was leaning harder into the cartoonish nature and the monsters. And without going too much into my review, because I want you guys to stick around to listen to the whole thing, because I think I could bring up, because I want you guys to hear why I don't quite, didn't quite enjoy this movie quite as much. Yeah, I didn't really think this movie lived up to my expectations, or really what a lot of people are describing this movie to be, which I think is really interesting. But let's get into it. I know I'm being super vague. So, Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire, expectations wise, wasn't expecting much. I was just expecting to be at we have at least as much fun as with the last movie, despite how stupid this movie looked from the trailers. Let's get into why I didn't really have as much fun as I wanted. But as always, I do want to start off with the things I like, and there was a couple here, and I'm very surprised that in a Godzilla X Kong New Empire review, the first thing I'm going to mention that I liked about this movie almost right off the bat, or first person, was Dan Stevens. Because look, I'm a big fan of Dan Stevens. I think he's such a fun actor. He's got, his great, glorious British voice hamming everything up, and in this movie, I think he's a ton of fun. He knows exactly what movie he's in, and he steals every scene, again, in his glorious, glorious British accent. And I was surprised how much fun you could tell he was having, considering I'm pretty sure they shot like 95% of this movie on a green screen, and the parts of it that weren't are just completely computer animated. I don't think there's a single real location in this movie. And again, nothing wrong with that if it looks good, and I'll get into that in just a second. But I'm surprised even with that it definitely felt like Dan Stevens knew exactly what he was meant to play. And he's basically a complete quip machine. And I feel like he's your very standard blockbuster Hollywood movie character. But I think he plays a really fun version of it, and I was kind of surprised how much I was enjoying his character. I also appreciated the idea of exploring Kong as a character further. Now, I've always been on Team Kong. I feel like Kong is in every single way a superior character to Godzilla, because he actually has emotions. He's a character who I actually feel like I have a grasp on what he's feeling. He's not just, a huge evil monster like Godzilla. And personally, for me, I'll always gravitate towards a character like that, even when they're supposed to be big titans. And when it comes to Kong, I think they spend a little more time with him in this movie. There's some extended scenes with him just hanging out that I think were fun to watch, and they're entertaining. And I think Kong, the visual effects character in this film, has more screen presence than like pretty much every actor in this movie. And I think that was pretty impressive, and it's a great job on the VFX artist's part. And speaking of that, again, a lot of the visual effects in this movie are pretty astounding. Despite being, the basis for the whole movie, without this movie, without the VFX, I should say, this movie doesn't exist. I would argue like 85%, if you count backgrounds, creatures, ships, and everything like that, I feel like honestly is made up of visual effects. Like, this might as well be an animated movie with live action segments, and it most of the time looks great. There's only shots here and there which don't feel believable in the world they've set up, and I feel like that's really impressive. And going along with that, in the technical side of this movie, the sound design is incredible in this movie. If you get a chance, I'd recommend, if you are going to see this movie on Dolby Atmos, because a lot of the sound design, a lot of the times it can just, in these big blockbuster movies, it can just feel like a bunch of bleh being thrown at the speakers around you. With this movie, I really paid attention to how, each punch was designed, how landings were designed, and I feel like I really felt it in this movie. And I feel like there was an actual distinction between what each monster and creature had. Like, whenever Godzilla's atomic breath would power up, that's just one of my favorite pieces of sound design in any movie I've ever seen. And it's used a lot here, and it sounds great once again. And before I get into my negatives and a lot of my problems with this movie, I want to mention that I think Adam Wingard is a very talented director. And although this movie, for the most part, wasn't really for me anymore, and it seems like this franchise is going in a direction where I'm not really going to be on board for it much longer, if at all, I think he's such a great director for this franchise. Because I feel like all of the faults with this movie, for the most part, come down to, I think, the script stage, or even like stuff at the idea stage, and stuff that just shouldn't have been in this movie to begin with, and shouldn't have been made, decisions that just shouldn't have been made in general. But I feel like on the directorial end, I feel like he was able to hold together a movie that is so bombastic, so insane, has so many visual effects, and still kind of keep it coherent in some ways. And I think he deserves a ton of respect for being able to do that. And he's clearly a very creative director, and I want to give him props for that. And he's clearly a huge nerd for this stuff. And as someone who is very nerdy about a lot of things, not so much about Titans and Kaijus, it's great to see someone who cares so much about the material getting the chance to make these movies. That being said, this film didn't really work for me in ways that I was kind of surprised by. And the first thing I'll start off with is the monster fights. Now, I was going into this movie expecting to walk out, record a quick review, and just saying, monster stuff good, human stuff bad. And unfortunately, that's not really the case, because I feel like a lot of the monster fights and Titan fights in this movie feel kind of redundant by this point. And to get into it more, I feel like the fight scenes and the action scenes and the battles that involved like a very clear matchup between, like, let's say two kaijus are very entertaining and look amazing and are easy to follow and tons of fun. Like, there's a mini rematch between Godzilla and Kong that's been teased in the trailers that's by far the most fun sequence of the entire movie. And even the way it ends, super cheesy, but I thought it was really funny. And the initial fight as well between Scar King and Kong before it goes absolutely off the rails, I think looked pretty cool. Unfortunately, I think all the other fight scenes, especially there's one on Hollow Earth towards the end that I thought was just monotonous to sit through because there's so much going on, but so little was actually thought through. The visual effects are amazing, and the fact that it's as coherent as it is impressive, but there is zero geography in these action scenes, and there is no grounding of these characters anymore like there was in the last movie. What worked for me about Godzilla versus Kong and the action scenes, like the one in the boats, which I thought was amazing, and the final fight, which was glorious, is that you could really feel the size of the Titans, Godzilla and Kong in particular, and you actually knew who was meant to be fighting who. In this movie really does have Michael Bay Transformers syndrome, where you just have no idea who's on screen at times. But even beyond that, the scenes on Hollow Earth feel so much like just generic sci-fi action. There is absolutely no scale to any of the fight scenes and the monsters. You have no idea how big they are compared to their environments, and they feel like they're like 8 feet tall when they're in Hollow Earth. And it's no different than any other like big, messy MCU third act fight scene. And it absolutely blows my mind that we get movies like Quantumania with terrible third acts and just CGI overload and just way too many too much cannon fodder going on and too many just like nameless goons just being beaten up for no reason. And people complain about stuff like that, as they should, but then ignore the third act of this movie, which is no different than something like that. And it kind of blows my mind. And even some of the other fight scenes, like there's some like that happened towards the middle portion of this movie, which I felt like I wasn't quite having as much fun as I did in Godzilla vs. Kong. Now, I believe in this movie, I could honestly they say there are close to like 10 times as many action scenes as there was in the last one, but none of them feel like they have quite as much weight. And there's just a Titan overload to the point where nothing feels impactful and nothing really matters anymore. And by the way, just a quick note for you, for those of you Godzilla fans, he is second billing. He is not even in this movie very much, and he has no purpose to be in the movie until I would say like an hour and a half into it. And as someone who doesn't really care about Godzilla and is definitely more of a Kong guy, I didn't really mind that. But I do think a lot of you who just have been celebrating with your minus one Oscar victory, which is awesome, and I still haven't seen that movie because the movie didn't release here, you're not going to get more of him in this movie for very much at all. And personally, for me, without getting into like the big issues with this movie, this is to me the point at this universe where I think it's time to jump ship. Because I feel like this is, I feel like by halfway through this movie, I was kind of checking out with a lot of the lore stuff, and a lot of the kaiju fights weren't as entertaining to me anymore. And again, I'm not much of a kaiju, Titan, Godzilla, and even Kong person, really. When you make me choose, I know which one I prefer. But in many ways, this movie has all the same problems and all the same positives as Godzilla vs. Kong. But I don't think it does certain things quite as good, and I think its negatives are much worse. And I feel like I should be more lenient on this movie, but I just feel like at this point, everything this movie does well, I saw it done better in the last one and the previous installments before that, that by now, even though this movie leans so hard into the silliness, it's super campy and it knows what movie it's trying to be. Nothing about it feels like it really stands out and is really going to be a movie that has a lot of replay and rewatch value, even for massive Godzilla and Kong fans, if you ask me personally. This movie definitely falls into that very generic, mediocre category that so many modern Hollywood films, and especially movies over the last couple of months, have fallen into. But getting into the negatives, obviously the human characters drag this movie down even harder than the last one. There aren't as many significant human characters, but arguably I would say the scenes with them are much worse. Brian Tyree Henry and Rebecca Hall honestly feel like they're phoning it in at best, and their performances are absolutely lifeless. I don't think they even really tried. And even the relationship between Gia, the little girl, and Kong, as well as the relationship between Gia and her mom, played by Dr. Andrews, played by Rebecca Hall, I don't think is anywhere near as interesting, or I would even say so. It felt more soulless than the last movie, which is interesting. Like, there's a particular aspect of this movie involving Gia's character and what she's, and these visions or whatever she's having, that was so stupid. That's one of the things that really strained my credibility, is it just felt like this franchise had overstepped its brown boundaries a little bit. And speaking about her, there is a subplot involving the Iwi tribe and where her heritage is, and I felt like it was really bland, boring, and unnecessary. And when I complain about the VFX and CGI overload in blockbusters, the stuff with her and where that stuff is set within Hollow Earth is by far the prime example of what I don't like of how CGI is being used. Like, there were scenes in this movie that looked like Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, which is not good. But even beyond that, just the more serious stuff in this movie, like again, the exploration into her origins and her tribe and the stuff that we get a bit more in this movie, really didn't work for me. It was just felt so self-serious, and it just felt tedious to get through. There are a few exposition dumps that kind of try to explore a little bit about the origins of this monster verse, and they should be interesting, but I feel like the way they're revealed is so lame that it almost felt like they shot an opening scene that could have given you this information, that would have actually shown it. But they were just like, this movie's going on way too long already, and we just need to cut it. And they kind of really quickly scrap together this like 3 or 4 minute exposition dump that just is a very forgettable CDC, despite how much information and important information it's trying to give you. And even as someone who likes watching movies and enjoys watching longer movies, this film is a good 20 minutes too long. And that's weird, because this movie, I believe, is like 1 hour and 53 minutes. And while I wouldn't say it felt long, this movie takes, I would say, like half an hour longer than it needs to actually get going. Like, I genuinely don't feel like the movie that you're all going to see starts until about an hour and 20 minutes into this movie. And even compared to stuff like Godzilla, King of the Monsters, and Kong, Skull Island, that is an impressively long time. And I feel like the stuff before that is, again, pretty tedious to get through considering the tone. And it doesn't really, the plot, quote-unquote, doesn't really kick into high gear until very long, or punch its way into high gear, because, you know, Kong has his Infinity Gauntlet now, until way too long. And it doesn't even get a little fun until an hour and 20 minutes into the third act, basically, really. And even by the third act, you're so bored by the overabundance of monster fights that not much really stands out anymore. And there's just too much random exploration in Hollow Earth, and there's some really bad Indiana Jones-like adventure stuff that just really felt lazy, and I'll get into that a bit later. And then moving on to, and as a consequence of the short, of the, you know, overly long first and second acts, or first act that got stretched out into two acts, the villain of this movie, Scar King, is a completely wasted character, because I think he looks cool. I think when he first shows up, there's a really great shot where they first introduce him, and there's this great air of mystery around him, but they don't explore any of that, and he's just a lackluster villain that shows up way too late in the movie to make any impact and even feel like significant. This movie, the way it's structured, almost felt like a kind of episodic episode, I guess you could say, in like an animated TV series from the 90s. Like, how late Scar King is introduced reminded me of like a villain of the week kind of villain, which is not what he's explained to be in this movie whatsoever. And it was such an odd way to structure a Godzilla and Kong movie with the way they made the last movie. Like, it just felt like the villain should be a bigger part of this movie. Now, some people make the argument that Mechagodzilla in Godzilla vs. Kong was given even less time. And while that's true, I think they were teasing him enough throughout, and the focus was more still on Godzilla vs. Kong, that the payoff with them actually teaming up to beat up Mechagodzilla felt satisfying. Here, there really isn't much happening in Godzilla and Kong storylines separately that have much intersections at all, and because of that, Godzilla just has to be forced in a very contrived way into the third act. And the fight scenes with Scar King don't really feel that very significant. And there is also another kaiju, while I think that other kaiju looked great, again, I just really don't think he left much of an impact, because he's like given no time, and he isn't even really his own character. And as you come to expect right now, the plot of this movie is absolutely stupid. But I just feel like my issue isn't how silly this movie is, but how many conveniences there are. Because Godzilla vs. Kong had some utterly ridiculous conveniences, like how they basically managed to have, I believe, like a tram system that was at like something like Florida or something like that, going all the way to Hong Kong, which was utterly ridiculous. And there was even like just this hole through the ground in Hollow Earth that somehow you entered through it from America or Antarctica or whatever, and then it just took you to Hong Kong. It was stupid as hell. In this movie, there is stuff like that all over, and the writers treat it as if there's nothing. Adam Wingard clearly did not pay much attention to it, because he knows you want a silly, fun, dumb monster movie, but it isn't quite as silly, fun, and dumb as you want it to be, and because of that, you notice stuff. It isn't quite as entertaining as you want it to be, and because of that, you just notice the really lazy writing. And this movie knows it's stupid, but I feel like too often uses that as an excuse to put zero effort into the writing. Like, travel time and, again, traveling between locations is non-existent in this film, just like in Godzilla vs. Kong. And arguably worse, characters just walk through portals, and portals just appear when they need to. Technology, new subplots just appear whenever the character needs it. Like, the way Kong gets his Infinity Gauntlet, the Beast Glove or whatever they're calling it, is the scene in which it's done is so funny, and it almost felt like the writers were literally laughing at us for even thinking about going along with it. I, for one, was not and felt like they were making a fool of themselves, but whatever, that was just me. And again, I just feel like it was so lazy, and even then just how conveniently it showed up and how late it is for the marketing, I just thought it was really silly. And at times, I will also say this. I think in some ways, this movie takes itself a little more serious than it should in the human scenes. But there are moments that are so silly, but done with such a straight face that it almost pulled me out. Like, there's an opening, I would say, montage with Rebecca Hall's character introducing where we're at in the monsterverse, where the state of people and how they're feeling about kaijus. And the way that world monuments and major cities are just treated like basically just nothing and cannon fodder was really odd to me. And people who complained about Man of Steel and the extensive destruction on Metropolis in that film, this movie makes that movie look like it's Boyhood or something. Like just an indie film that has absolutely nothing and no destruction in it. Zero action. Like that's how much destruction is in this movie. And it felt at a point almost distracting how little care they put into anything involved with the story. And I just didn't really notice that as much with Godzilla vs. Kong. And the action scenes felt more significant. Here, I think the laziness really stood out. And I think that's really what hurt a lot of my experience with this movie. And I get it trying to be silly. And I get it just wants to have fun. But it sacrifices, in my opinion, too much to do that. And takes too long to get to that either way. And the third act isn't really quite as satisfying as you want it to be. And for me, that was a pretty big disappointment. And even the monster fights, I didn't feel like quite lived up to Godzilla vs. Kong. And while I liked Dan Stevens, I liked Kong, this was a lackluster next step in following Godzilla vs. Kong, if you ask me personally. I'm going to give Godzilla Kong, The New Empire, a C. And this is one where I'm unfortunately going to have to recommend you to just wait and stream it. Even if you're a big fan of the MonsterVerse, I don't think this movie will quite live up to your expectations. And I only think it can really disappoint you, even if you liked Godzilla vs. Kong. And I'm actually surprised the reviews are leaning as positive as they are now having seen the movie. But I have a feeling that over the next couple of days and when upcoming box office weekends, you're not going to see much return and replay value in terms of people actually discussing this as a movie they really liked. And while I don't think much people went into this movie expecting that, I was just hoping I would at least have as much fun as in Godzilla vs. Kong. And for me, despite way more Titans, I didn't really enjoy this movie all that much. And as someone who loves going to the movies and is really literally looking forward to it at almost every point in time, this experience was lackluster, to say the least. And again, I keep using this word, but I think that's pretty disappointing. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, make sure to let me know what you guys thought of Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. And make sure to let me know what your favorite movie in the MonsterVerse has been so far in the poll section on Spotify. If you want to ask what my favorite is, I'm not really sure, but I will say it's definitely not this one. And thank you guys so much for listening. As always, I will catch you all next time. Bye-bye.